This week, space is the place. New photos from the beginning of the universe shed new light. Or very, very old light. For Wednesday, December 20th, 2006, this is PodTech News. Google and Dogpile take a look back at the past year. What they see and what they don't see, coming up. I'm Paul Lancour, in for Jason Lopez. This is PodTech News. Researchers with funding from the National Science Foundation examining old data from NASA's Spitzer telescope may have gotten a picture of some of the oldest objects in the universe. They did it by digging into images and working past many layers of energy and radiation. There isn't total agreement over what the images may show. They could be the oldest galaxies. Or they could be quasars, giant black holes that consume and then expel massive amounts of gas and debris. If the images do show the universe's first stars, they appear to be as large as 1,000 times the size of our own sun, and 10 times larger than objects of their age are thought to have been. Two studies on these findings are to be published in January. Major religious texts like the Bible or the Quran may have evolved from oral traditions, but they've been spread far and wide thanks to the printed page. Now, books are starting to seem a little old-fashioned, and one religion is making a move to keep up, as Islam goes high-tech. PodTech's Matt Kelly has more.
An electronic version of Islam's holy book, the Quran, is soon to be available electronically, courtesy of the world's largest computer chip maker, Intel Corp. The company partnered with two Saudi Arabian software companies to develop a small computer with wireless internet access as part of a broad push to bring low-cost computing and internet access to emerging markets. The e-Quran contains the text of the Holy Book and features audio resuscitations in 40 different languages, plus interactive interpretations of the material. Powered by low-power processors, Intel said it had no plans to commercialize or brand the devices. Matt Kelly, PodTech News.
When it comes to protecting copyrighted music, there's a right way and there's a wrong way. That's the message after a settlement by one record company in lawsuits brought by prosecutors in California and Texas. Sony BMG Music Entertainment agreed to pay $1.5 million in addition to thousands in customer refunds to settle the suits, which resulted from a hidden program the company dumped on unsuspecting consumers. Music CDs contained an anti-piracy program that monitored users' behavior, but also led to damaged computers when Sony provided recommendations for removing the unwanted software. It's not the first time the company has settled over this issue. It already addressed a class action suit for the offense. Customers in Texas and California can file claims to receive between $25 and $175 through the new settlement. A new survey from Nielsen Media Research highlights the continuing challenge for record companies. Almost half of all internet-equipped computer users have downloaded music from the web. Of course, the showdown between record labels' copyrighted content and users intent on getting music for free is a long story, and the Nielsen findings are unsurprising for that reason. But the new research also says we've passed an historic moment in technological transition. VCRs have been surpassed by DVD players. More than 80% of U.S. homes have a DVD machine. That's slightly more than the number with VCRs. Maybe it's not all that surprising, especially considering that DVD player sales have outstripped VCRs for more than 3 years. It's also easier and easier to buy a computer and end up with a DVD player in the bargain. Still, for the VHS format, first introduced in 1976, it's a milestone. Just how ubiquitous is Apple's iPod? When it comes to new cars sold in the United States, next year we'll see half of them with built-in iPod integration. In a new report from Telematics Research Group, the feature is the most desired thing about new cars for potential buyers. 2006 saw only 12% of vehicles fitted with the capability, so the new report shows a significant jump. The report also indicates that high-end stereo equipment will be increasingly available from the factory instead of as an exclusively aftermarket purchase. For next year, the research firm says to expect increasing numbers of cars with hard drives. Why does Google save search data? Not just to target advertising to people who search for the same things you do, not just to serve you better by upgrading search technology to bring you more relevant results. Google, like every analyst and media organization that observes the Gregorian calendar, saves your data so it can bring you the best of list at the end of each year. Podtech's Catherine Girardeau has her finger on the pulse of Google's zeitgeist for 2006.
Google has released its year-end zeitgeist list to the press, the top search queries of 2006. Topping the list was Bebo. It's a San Francisco-based social networking site, seen by some as a MySpace alternative. MySpace, among Google search queries, was nipping at Bebo's heels as number two. Could this point to a future trend that what people are searching for is the next MySpace or the anti-MySpace? The World Cup and Meta Cafe, the popular Israeli video sharing site, will it rival YouTube, were fourth and fifth most searched for globally. In the news category, Paris Hilton and Orlando Bloom beat out cancer, and podcasting was ahead of Hurricane Katrina as the most searched for news items of 2006. Does the fact that bankruptcy, at number six, topped 2006 NFL draft, at number nine, point to the fact that that office pool is just not quite keeping up with inflation? We also found it interesting that Google searchers looked most for Paris Hilton in the news category, but under definitions, were most curious about the meaning of the word promiscuous. I'll let listeners draw their own conclusions. In Palo Alto, I'm Catherine Girardeau, Podtech News.
Now that we've heard about the year's top searches from the top search engine, only one thing remains. Results from the search engine that combines the top results from the other leading search engines. Dogpile.com compiles compiled results from Google, Yahoo, MSN, and Ask, and has put together some very interesting information for us to consider as we look back on the past year. Michael Klinger has the stat of the day.
Experts. We often turn to them at the end of the year for lists of just about anything. Experts can tell us a lot about where our desires for information and goods and services have taken us. We appreciate experts because they're able to take sometimes complicated statistics and turn them into bite-sized pieces of knowledge. But while experts may be experts on us in many ways, there's one even better way to find out what we're interested in. Just ask us. Or to put it another way, let us know what we're asking. Search engines are in a very good position to tell us what we're asking, so it's no surprise that Dogpile.com has compiled its annual list of the top searches and questions. But this year, they've also given us a peek into the recesses of our collective curiosity. Because it's one thing to tell us what we want to know. Broadcast news and mainstream entertainment have all got a stake in finding that holy grail. But it's another thing entirely to tell us what we don't want to know. This year, thanks to Dogpile, we know the top 10 least searched for questions and the top 10 least searched cities. You can find the results by doing a search on Dogpile and least searched stuff. It's probably too soon to know just how much this sort of frightening look into our uncuriousness will change the way we think about things we don't think about. The list of top least searched topics runs the gamut from snails to basic atomic science. But until the experts turn up to explain it, at least we have the lists. With the stat of the day, I'm Michael Klinger. I can't believe nobody searched for Montauk. Well, almost nobody. And what do snails eat? They probably eat leaves, don't they? Well, they're not big eaters, probably. Or are they? They're small, so they wouldn't take much.
That's it for Podtech News, produced by Matt Kelly, Catherine Girardeau, and Michael Klinger. For Jason Lopez, I'm Paul Lancour. Thanks for listening.